I wanted to get here at 5:30.
All right, Dolce, good morning. Let's begin. I'm sorry we're running a few minutes late this morning, and we definitely need every minute. So we left off Chav Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots. Hakli Mitzayif Masha B'Socho L'Kodesh Avalo L'Trumas. Remember again, the Mishnah said that the Kli, a utensil, has the ability to combine everything within it for Kodesh purposes, not for Truma. Remember the case of the Mishnah was that if you have multiple items sitting within one Kli, and a Tamei person goes ahead and touches one of the items, that when it comes to Truma, only the item that was touched is Tamei, as opposed to, again, Kodesh, where if one of the items becomes Tamei, everything else in the utensil becomes Tamei. So that's what I'm going to Kli Mitzarif. The Kli brings them together. Minahani Mili, where do we know this from? Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Kra, Kaf Achas, Asara Zahav Melea Kitores. So interestingly enough, the pasuk says kaf achas. One kaf literally means over here like a ladle. One ladle made from 10 talents of gold, melea kitoris, filled with kitoris. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Aso, akas of aso lekoma shebekaf achas. So interestingly enough, Rav Chanin is making a little bit on the play on words of kaf achas. So we normally translate kaf achas as one ladle. So Rav Chanin says no, kaf achas means what? Everything that is within the ladle is made into one. Everything within the ladle is combined into one. Master Rav Kahana says, so I will say, interesting enough, according to Rav Chanin, this concept that the Kli goes ahead and combines everything is a din d'oraisa. All right. Master Rav Kahana raises a kasha. He says, Hosif Rabbi Akiva, Hasolis v'hakitores v'halavona v'hagicholin. So Rabbi Akiva added on to this list of things. Solus is fine flour. Kitores means incense. Levona is literally the frankincense. Gicholim are coals. Shinaga tvul yom b'miktsaso. That if a tzuan, also remember, a tvul yom is someone who has gone to the mikvah but has not yet had Harav Shemesh. He still needs the sun to go down. Shinaga bahem tvul yom mix. Excuse me. Shinaga tvul yom b'miktsaso pasal eskulo. That if the tvul yom touches one of these things, and they're in a utensil, that l'maisa, when you touch part of it, the entire thing becomes everything within the utensil becomes tamei. But Rabbi Yossi, what's the point over here? V'hadrabanan hi. And yet, again, this is a din drabanan. Now, how do we know that? So Rabbi Yossi, the contradiction is going to be, here's what's interesting about this. Everyone is agreeing in principle to the concept, which is that when you have multiple things within one utensil, and it's Kodesh, if a Tamei touches one of them, all of them become Tamei. The Shaila now is this a Din D'Araisa, or is this a Din D'Rabbanan? Rav Chanin learned it out from a Pasuk, and Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, ceases to say it's a Din D'Rabbanan, to which the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that Rabbi Akiva says that it's a Din D'Rabbanan? Midiktani Resha, because the beginning of the Mishnah says, the beginning of the Braisa says, Heyed Rabbi Shimon ben Mesira al Efer Chatos, because Rabbi Shimon ben Mesira gave testimony about Efer Chatos, also the ashes of the Paraduma, Shinaga Tamei Mektsaso, that if somebody who's Tamei touches part of them, so the halacha is, Shetime Eskulo, that the entire thing is Tamei. The Katani, and furthermore, it was stated about that, Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added on to that. So both say the fact that it's clear from the beginning of the Mishnah, talking about it in the Rabbanon, and then it says what? That Rabbi Akiva added on to it, it indicates that what? That Rabbi Akiva's din is also a din d'Rabbanon. So the question is, which one is it? Is the idea of Nagab Mitzaso, so Nagab Mitzaso Kulo Tame, is that a din d'Araisa or a din d'Rabbanon? I'm Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kafra. So Reish Lakish, the name Bar Kafra, Tap of Chaftal, Lo Nitzucha Elo, the Sheyari Mincha. The truth is, the din, Rabbi Akiva's din, was necessary only for what we call Shiyari Mincha. So what's a Shiyari Mincha means? Are the leftovers of a Mincha offering. So we'll say, what Reish Lakish seems to be suggesting is a little of a compromise position. That there are times when this din is D'Oraisa, and there are times when this din is D'Rabbanan. For example, D'Oraisa Tzarech Likli, Hakli Mitzarfo, She'in Tzarech Likli, In Kli Mitzarfo. So we'll say, listen to this. Mid D'Oraisa, If you have something that requires a kli, well, so what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the ilum d'oraisa tzarech l'kli, dumya diktores shebekaf. Da'ari bakra, kli mitzarfa, v'shein lazarech l'kli, k'gon sharei mincha, shein achilas kohen, ein achil mitzarfa. We're supposed to listen to this. So Shlach Lakish says like this, if you have something that requires a kli, what does it mean something that requires a kli? For example, kitores. So we'll say, you can't choose, the kohen can't choose, you know what? I feel bad for the temple dishwasher. You know what? You know, I want to take it easy on him. So I'm going to just bring the Ketores in my hand. You can't do that. Ketores needs a kli. As opposed to, let's say, other things, for example, like shiori mincha. So shiori mincha, the leftovers of the mincha, that are the property of the kohen to eat. That doesn't require a kli shari, so a temple utensil. So the Gemara says like this, something very interesting. If the thing that you're dealing with requires a kli, then what? Then a kli mitzarfo. Then ultimately, again, mid'oraisa, the kli makes all of the parts within the kli into one unit, which means what? Which means that lemaisa, if you touch one of the things, everything becomes tame. However, mid'oraisa, things that do not require a kli, the kli does not combine them. However, va'asud rabbanon v'gazru, and the rabbis came along and said, so the rabbis came along and said, midrabon on even things that do not require a kli, kli mitzarfo. Nevertheless, again, midrabon on, the kli combines them into one unit. So we'll say, now we've satisfied everyone. So essentially, again, this concept has a chelak, has a part of it that's doraiso, and has a part of it that's drabanon. When the item in question requires a kli, then the kli combines everything midoraiso. But midrabanon, the rabbis were goes that even if the item does not, even if the subject does not need a kli, the material does not need a kli, the kli is mitzar from midrabanon. Okay. Tinach solas. Ketora, steinach solas. So I understand the case of fine flour. However, again, ketores ulavona ma'ikalamimar. What is there to say ultimately again by ketores and lavona? Rash is ma'ikalamimar. Harit tzrich and lekli. These items require a kli midaraisa. Amrav Nachman arav baravua kigon. So what's I mean? When would you ever have a case? When would you ever have a case of ketores and lavona? That's drabanan. See, because what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, if you look at Rabbi Akiva's lashon, if you look at the lashon of our Mishnah doesn't seem to be mechalik between drais and drabanan. So let's assume everything's drabanan. So where would you ever have a case of ketores and levona where this concept applies midrabanan? If lemais again they require a kli midaraisa, Rabbi Baravua. Listen to this. It's actually interesting. Kigon shetzavran agabe kartablo. Right, that if you go ahead and you spread it out on top of a kartablo. What is a kartablo? Rashi says, or shaluk. Shaluk literally means boiled. Boiled leather. What it means is you spread it out on top of a leather mat. Doraisa yesh lo toch mitzarif. Ein lo toch, ein lo mitzarif. Well, this is actually very interesting. Because midoraisa, what type of kli, what type of utensil has the ability to combine the contents? Only kli that has a toch. What's a toch? A base kibble, a receptacle, but a kli that does not have a toch, that does not have a receptacle, is not able to combine them. Which is what's taking even a step further. There are opinions that hold the midaraisa, something that doesn't have a base kibble or receptacle isn't even called a kli midaraisa. All right, va'asur rabbanon v'tiknu da'afagav de'in lo toch mitzarev. And the rabbis came along and they legislated that even if you have a utensil that does not have a toch, that does not have a receptacle, nevertheless midarabbanon what? It still combines everything that is on top of it into one entity. Upliga d'Rab Chanan, upliga d'Rab Chanan, ad Rab Chiya bar Abba. And Rab Chanan argues on Rab Chiya bar Abba. Why don't Rab Chiya bar Abba am Rab Yochanan medusa Rabbi Akiva nishnis mishnazu? Because we also listen to this. Because Rab Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rab Yochanan that based on the testimony of Rabbi Akiva was our Mishnah written. I also remember again, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that this whole din of Akli Mitzarfo is what? Is a din d'Rabbanan. And here you have Rav Chiya bar Abba saying that our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Akiva, which indicates that what? That our Mishnah is also d'Rabbanan. The Gemara just points out that argues on Rav Chanin, because Rav Chanin holds that what? That the Iker din of Kli Mitzarfo is a din d'oraisa. Okay, so we end off with the machlokes about whether or not the din d'oraisa is mitzarfo, of Kli Mitzarfo is a din d'oraisa or d'rabanon. But the truth is the Gemara also gives us a compromise position telling us that whenever the subject in matter requires a Kli, then Kli Mitzarfo mid'oraisa. When it doesn't require a Kli, then it's Kli Mitzarfo mid'rabanon. Good. Harivi b'kodesh pasul. Remember again, the next thing in the Mishnah was that I will say with kodesh, even a revi is pasul. Remember again, normally tuma ends at what we'll call the shlishi level. So remember again, you have an avatuma. These something touches the avatuma becomes a rishon. Rishon could communicate Tuma to make something else a Sheni. Sheni could communicate something else to a Shlishi. But when you become a Shlishi, Rabosai, you don't have the ability to go ahead and communicate any subsequent Tuma. You're just simply what's called Pasul. You're Pasul. Except when it comes to Kodesh, the Mishnah says. When it comes to sacrificial items, it could even become a Revi. Which Rabosai, remember, when we started this whole Perek, we spoke about the idea that the greater the intensity of Kiddusha, so the more receptive the item is to Tuma. So therefore, again, Kodesh, which is of a higher level than anything else, by definition, could even become a Revi. Says the Gemara, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Minayim the Revi, but Kodesh, Shu Pasul. How do we know that if you have a Revi by Kodesh, that it's Pasul? I'll say Pasul means that it itself becomes unfit, but yet again, it does not communicate Tuma to anything else. So the Gemara says, Vidinhu, I'll tell you why it's a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Uma Mechusar Kippurim, Shemoter Betruma, Pasul B'Kodesh. We'll say, who's Mechusar Kippurim? Mechusar Kippurim is someone who has gone to the mikvah, has experienced Her of Shemesh, the sun has already gone down, but what? His particular type of Tuma requires Karbanos, and he has not yet brought his Karbanos. This could be like a Zav, a Metzora. So I went to the mikvah, sun went down, just haven't brought my karbanos. So the Gemara says, if Mechusar Kippurim is mutter b'truma, he's permitted to eat truma, but he is prohibited by in Kodesh, shlishi, then all the more so a shlishi, shepasel b'truma. So I will say, a shlishi, ultimately, again, who is not permitted to eat truma, eino din shiyaaser revi l'kodesh, should it not go without saying that he has the ability to communicate tuma to Kodesh, and therefore make it the revi. V'lamanu shlishi l'kodesh min haTorah, therefore, it turns out that we don't have the concept that Kodesh could become a Shlishi Midaraisa and Revi'i from a Kavachomer. So, the Kavachomer is what we just stated. Shlishi la Kodesh Minatora Minayin. How do we know that, again, that there's a concept of Shlishi by Kodesh Minatora? It's actually an interesting Kavachomer. Dichsiv v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh. Because the Pasuk says that the meat that will go ahead and come in contact with anything that is tameh, lo ye achel. It shall not be in. And I will say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, Milo askinon dinaga b'sheni. Are we not talking about where the meat came in contact with the sheni? The Kamarachmana lo yochal, lo yachal, and yet the Pasuk says that it shall not be in. Why not? What do you see from there? From there you see that Lamaisa sheni can make something else into a shlishi. And I will say, how does the Gemara know that v'habasar sheiga b'chol tameh? How do you know that b'chol tameh refers to a sheni? So Rashi actually points this out. It's very interesting. Rashi says that because when the wording of the pasuk says v'habasar sheiga b'chol tameh, so b'chol tameh means anything that is tumah. So the way interesting of the Gemara chooses to interpret that pasuk is the most basic, like weakest form of tumah. What's the weakest form of tumah we know before this pasuk? It's a sheni, and yet the pasuk is telling us that even if the meat comes in contact with the sheni, the weakest form of tumah, it's also tameh, which tells us what. That a sheni has the ability to make something a shlishi. Very interesting drasha. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Revi v'kavachomer hada amran." And above all, the fact that by kodesh a shlishi can make something into a revi, that we learn from a kavachomer. That's what we just said before. That was the kavachomer from Mechusar Kippurim. So therefore, we learn out again that a sheni could make something into a shlishi. We learn out from the pasuk, and that a shlishi can make something into a revi. That we learn from the kavachomer. Ubetruma im nitmeis. We'll say again, this was another very interesting case. So if you remember again, the Mishnah said, the Mishnah said, Ubetruma im nitmeis achas miyadav chaverta tahora. Right? By truma, if one of your hands became tameh, the other hand is tahor. Ubekodesh, right. Ubekodesh matpil shtein. But by kodesh, again, apparently, if one of your hands becomes tameh, then lemaise, again, both become tameh. Shayad metame es chaverta bekodesh, aval lo betruma. Fine. Says the Gemara. Ubetruma, amar of shizbi, bichiburin shanu. This is only talking about what? Where the two hands are touching each other. Look at Rashi. Bichiburin shanu. Masnisin diktani yad metame es chaverta bekodesh. When the Mishnah said that one hand can be metame another hand by kodesh, we'll say, remember, when we say one hand can be metame one another hand, these are my two hands, right? So my left hand is tame, my right hand is not. So the Mishnah said that by truma, again, just because my left hand is tame, my right hand remains tar. But yet by kodesh, if my left hand is tame, my right hand becomes tamar. Rav Shizvi comes along and says, one second, you have to qualify this statement. Now back to Rashi. mas nisin diktani yad mitami es chaverta lekodesh kigon shebaot shayad hatmer no gas letora haisa hatahora no gas pekodesh the gazir abanan dilma asi lemigna leminga tmeya bekodesh. We'll say that's very interesting. So what's the case over here? The case is where while I'm touching the, let's say, the kodesh item with my right hand, my tahar hand, my left hand, my tameh hand, is touching my tahar hand. So again, remember, when do we say that one hand is metame, another hand by kodesh? That's only when my hand is, my tahar hand is on the kodesh, and my tameh hand is touching my tahar hand. That's when we say that by kodesh, my tameh hand transmits tumah to my tahar hand. Why? What's the concern? Because now this makes a little bit more sense. Now, what's the concern? The concern is that I'm one touch away from touching the kodesh itself. Therefore, again, that's the case where the tameh hand transmits tumah to the tahar hand. However, again, back to the Gemara about Shalom b'chiburin, but if my tameh hand is not touching my tahar hand at the time that my tahar hand is touching the kodesh, then what? Then lemaisa again lo. Then it does not communicate tumah to the tahar hand. Look at Rashi. Shalom b'chiburin, shala achar shapir shemina Torah. If my tameh hand only touches my tahar hand after my tahar hand is removed from the kodesh, chazra tahara v'naga b'kodesh tar. So remember again, so just for proper purposes, if this is my Kodesh, right? This is my Kodesh. So again, when do we say that for Kodesh purposes, my Tameh hand goes in as Metame, my Tar hand? If my Tar hand is on the Kodesh and my Tameh hand is touching my Tar hand, then I'm able to communicate Tumah to the Kodesh. But if I have my Tameh and my Tar hand and I touch my Tameh hand, we hold hands, and then afterwards I go ahead and I pick up the Kodesh, that does not communicate tumah to the Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Esvei Abai. So Abai raised the kasha. Yad neguva metame chaverta latame kodesh, avalo l'truma divrei Rebbe. So what the Braisa says, that a dry hand has the ability to communicate tumah to its friend in order to transmit tumah to kodesh, but not for truma purposes. These are the words of Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi says, lifsol, no, it's not true. A dry hand could communicate tumah for psul purposes, but cannot actually go ahead and render something. Tell me, Rashi says over here, yad neguva af apishain b'mashkin. Even though, again, the hand is, so what the Gemara is pointing out of it is that normally to transmit tumah, you need some type of liquid medium to make something kashal tumah, hokshal tumah, but that doesn't apply over here. So the Gemara says, I armit bishlam shalom b'chibur han rabusei. So we'll say, if you tell me over here that this price is not talking about a case of where what the tameh hand was touching the tahara hand, then I understand, because that's the chiddush over here. The chiddush over here is that even if the hands are not touching and they're dry, they have the ability to go ahead and communicate tumah in some way. However, again, ella I armit b'chiburin, in shalom b'chiburin lo, my rabusa dinaguva. But if you tell me that this is still talking about over here, what? Still talking about if the hands are touching, but if they're not touching, there's no communication of tumah, then why do we even have to bring up this idea that the hand is dry? It's marinami Reish Lakish. Similarly, again, Reish Lakish said, lo shano ela yado. We'll say, we only said what? We only said this is talking about one's own hand. Aval, amadez, aval, yad chavero lo. We'll say, it's another very interesting halacha. When do we say that this is now, who is talking over here? This is Reish Lakish. When do we say that one hand is able to communicate tumah to the other hand? That's only when my hands. But if my friend's tameh hand touches my hand, then what? Then Lamaisa says Reish Lakish, that does not go ahead and communicate, that does not communicate tumah. Rabbi Yochanan said, Echad yado ve'echad yad chaveiro, ba'osa hayad lifsal. Interestingly enough, from Yochanan, however, on the other hand, says, no, it's not true. Whether it's in my hand or it's my friend's hand, one tameh hand has the ability to communicate tumah to a second tameh hand. However, again, it only gives that second tameh hand the ability for psul, avalo litameh, but not to go ahead and transmit tumah. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ba'osayad, im naga b'yad rishon b'yad chaveiro, aval hashniya eina metame yad chaveiro. So we'll say, so this is very interesting. So we have another fundamental machluk in Yochanan Reish Lakish, namely, that is this din of one hand being metame another hand, is this just a din on my own hands? Or is this a din even in what? even in my friend's hand. So Reish Lakish says again, it's only a din in my hand. Rabbi Yochanan holds it's even a din in what? Even a din in my friend's hand. It was like, remember, just to be clear, everyone's agreeing, however, that this is all rabbinic tuma. Obviously, not tuma any tuma dara, so all rabbinic tuma. So the Gemara says, Mimai, from where do we know this? Midiktoni Seifa, because if you look at the end of the Mishnah, Shayad mitame chaverta lekodesh, avalo l'truma. Because what did the Seifa say? That one hand has the ability to transmit tuma to its friend for kodesh and not for truma purposes. But why do I need this? Why do I need this case? It was already stated in the Reisha. Rashi says Hatana Reisha ulakodesh matbilin shtein. Remember again, earlier on in the Mishnah, it already said that lamaisa for kodesh purposes you immerse both hands, which indicates what? Which indicates that lamaisa one hand could transmit tuma to the other. To which the Gemara says alash mamina lasu yad chavero. Oh, but rather it must mean what? That second statement in the Mishnah must be coming to include even the hand of my friend. That even the hand of my friend has the ability to communicate tuma to my own. Va'af Reish Lakish Hadarbei, and even Reish Lakish ultimately retracted his earlier position. The Amr Abmini, also remember, Reish Lakish was the one who said that my friend's hand cannot transmit tuma to my own. So even Reish Lakish went ahead and retracted this position. The Amr Ab Yona, Amr Ab Ami, Amr Reish Lakish, Echad Yado, Ve'echad Yad Chaveira, Ba'osa Hayad Lifso, Avalo Lutame. So the Gemara says, even Reish Lakish said that whether it's my tame hand or my friend's tame hand, if that tame hand touches the other hand, the tar hand, it has the ability to transmit tuma. However, again, that tuma is limited in that it makes the other hand, I mean, the other hand could is puzzle, but itself cannot transmit any subsequent tuma. So the Gemara says, velifso avalo letame tenahi. This idea that it becomes puzzle, but can't transmit any additional tuma, is in and of itself imachlokis tanoim. This none, because we learned kala posel b'truma mitame yadayim liyoshnios. I will say anything that invalidates by truma has the ability to go ahead and be mitame liyadayim, to make them into shnios, to make them into second tier, to make them into second tier tuma. Viyad mitame chaverta. And similarly, again, one hand has the ability to transmit tuma to its friend. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, these are the words of Rabbi Yeshua. Ve'chom dechom say, yadayim shnios, yadayim are automatically shnios. Ve'ein sheni osis sheni b'chulin. And one sheni cannot go ahead and do a lateral transmission of tuma, make something else into a sheni. My love, sheni hu dilo ovid, hashlishi ovid. So when we say that hands that are sheni can't make something else into a sheni, does that not mean that they can't make it into a sheni, but what? They can make it into a shlishi. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Dilma, lo sheni avid, velo shlishi. No, perhaps it means that they can't go ahead and make it into a sheni or shlishi, which also is another way of saying that the hands themselves become puzzle, but not necessarily tame. Ela ki hani tanoi. Rather, it's like this machlokis, this sanya. Yad neguva matame es chaver tel tame bekodesh avalo l'truma. So let's say, because we learned that what? A dried hand has the ability to matame its friend for kodesh purposes, to go to be matame by kodesh, but not for truma. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Excuse me, divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer, osa yad lifsol avalo l'tame. And we'll say on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, that hand can become puzzle, but cannot transmit tuma. So we'll say fundamental machlokes tanoim, everyone's going to agree that one hand can be metame another midirabanan, but the shayla is what? The shayla is what level of tuma it actually conveys. Rabbi Lemais is saying that it can actually go ahead and make a hand into a shlishi. Another Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Lemais said no, it really doesn't make it tame, it just simply makes it puzzle. Okay. It's the second hand, correct. The first hand itself is the hand that came in contact with the actual tuma. We're talking now the transmission from the tame hand to the tar hand, correct. Ochlin, niguvim biyadayim esu avos. Remember the Mishnah said that you can go ahead and literally eat food. You can go ahead and eat food with biyadayim esu avos, literally means dirty hands. Dirty hands. So remember, again, the context. The context is ochlim neguvim biyadayim esu avos b'truma. This wasn't it. Ochlim neguvim biyadayim esu avos b'truma v'lo b'kodesh. You can eat foods. Ah, thank you. You can go ahead and you could eat an old one. You can go ahead. Thank you. Actually, you can go ahead and you could eat foods that are dry with dirty hands, which means again hands that had came in contact with tuma for truma purposes, but not for kodesh. Says the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said, "V'chiyesh neguva b'kol l'kodesh." And I will say again, this idea that somehow if the hands are dry, that there's no liquid medium, it would prevent the transmission of tumah. Is that really true by kodesh? After all, v'halo chibas hakodesh machshirasan. Well, it's actually interesting. Chibas hakodesh means the love of kodesh makes them receptive to tumah. What does it mean? About saying that sometimes what the Gemara is suggesting here is that something could be so holy in nature that its incredible holiness makes it receptive to tumah even without a liquid medium. So does not the fact that kodesh is of such great sanctity by definition allow the hands to become tameh? Or I should say, allow the transmission of tumah. So we'll say, let me be clear. What the Gemara is talking about over here is that Lamaisa, you might have thought that if my hands are dry, they pretty much can't transmit tumah to, or if the food is dry, they can't my hands can't transmit tumah to the food. To which the Gemara says, but is that really true? At the end of the day, kodesh is so sensitive that even with dry hands, Lamaisa tumah should be transmitted. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Lo tzricha, what's the case? Okay, it's actually interesting. Ki go shetachav lo chaveru lo soch piv. What's the case, I will say, where my friend put the kodesh into my mouth, meaning I'm not touching the kodesh, right? He puts the kodesh right into my mouth. Oh, shetachav uliyatzmo bikushu bekarkar. Or what happens, or is perhaps a more simpler case, is where I went ahead and I put a toothpick into the kodesh, and I'm going, it's a kodesh, you know, Frank in a blanket, right? I put the toothpick in there, and I ate it, and I'm eating it. So we'll say, what's the chap of the toothpick? The chap of the toothpick is I am avoiding direct contact with the kodesh itself. However, listen to this. Ubikesh le'echol tznon ubatzal shalchulin imayim. But what do I want to do? I want to go ahead and eat. It's known as an onion, or it's garlic, or again, a radish. Excuse me, a radish or an onion of chulin with them. So we'll say, I want to go ahead and eat something. I want to eat something chulin together with the kodesh. So the Gemara says, "Likodesh gazibu rabbanan l'tshmul gazibu." So let's listen to this. So the concern is like this. The concern is that lemaisa, my hand is tamei. My hand is tummy. But okay, not a problem. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to avoid tumah for kodesh purposes. I will say thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and avoid kodesh. I'm going to avoid kodesh issues. How? I'm not going to touch the kodesh. But it happens to me, I want to eat the kodesh together with what? Together with chulin. So chazal said like this. Now, Rabbi Moshe, my hand is tummy. So the Gemara said like this. When it comes to truma, that's no problem. That's not a problem at all. Because again, as long as your hands are dry, not a problem. However, with kodesh, even if you are not touching the kodesh itself, but you are handling the chulin, we're concerned that what? That in the, as a process of handling the chulin, you may come to go ahead and handle the truma as well, the kodesh as well, and be matami the kodesh. That's why, again, if one's hands are tame, one is not permitted to go ahead and eat kodesh, even if what? Even if lemaisa, one is not going to handle the kodesh directly. So we'll stop over here. We'll mamash pick up right here tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. I'll get it. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you.
Times tomorrow?
Regular.
What's regular?
5:45. Mm-hmm. Lichos like 6:20, 6:25. Same for the same time tomorrow. Correct.
The Nagabashani, he says, because the kli becomes a rishon. So how do you know? And there's like, let's say the contents of the kli were all the way at the top. So I assume the kli becomes a rishon because it's in the toich. What if it never hits the toich? It just hits the
outside.
Hits the what's in it.
Or the contents of the kli.
And let's say you have stuff at all the way at the top.
So if you're metame ochlin, if you're metame the ochlin in the kli, yeah, I guess that transmits tumah to the kli. Meaning ochlin have the ability to transmit tumah to kli.
How do we know that this becomes a hard? Because we're saying that minatur, that it's a shame.
Right.
How do you know? In other words, so it seems Rashi's saying because it makes the kli a rishon, and then the kli makes the.
Right.
How do you know? In other words, maybe you could say it's only saying where It's all the way at the top. And so it's just the
time of the yeah, how do you know the concept that if a kli is a rishon, what's inside of it is a sheni?
What made the rishon, what made the keli into, in other words, you're saying, what kind of keli, you're saying it could be a case like a metal keli?
Could kli matechas, where the tumah touches the outside, kli becomes a rishon, automatically renders everything inside a sheni. Because your kasha would be in a kli cheres.
Yeah, but I'm saying in order to make it a sheni, don't you, in order to say that it's necessarily talking about a sheni, you have to understand that that needs to be the case? Otherwise, you say...
Why? Because you're asking if it touched...
Could be saying just the rishon.
Again, because you're saying maybe it's a case of where the tumah touched the food itself that's in the kli, but lam davka touched the kli.
Right, or maybe the food is piled up.
So yeah, I don't know what the halacha is in that case. If it goes in and touches the food on the inside, it doesn't touch the keli.
Because the keli is mitzaref, presumably.
Yeah, but that's not even a case. Mitzaref is a different case. Mitzaref is.
But I'm saying whenever that you could find a case where what's in it, because that's what it's saying, that whatever's in it is tummy. I'm saying you could find, I would think you could find a case where what's in it is tummy is a rishon only. In which case, how do you know that the Torah has a case where it says make the sheni?
Right. Well, I think what the Gemara is talking about, I think the reason why Rashi chooses that case is because they're looking for like the lowest possible level of biblically mandated tumah.
Right.
Which is this case, not the case you're describing.
But in other words, you can't assume that the pasuk, that the Torah creates a sheni if in other words, from this pasuk, how do you know? In other words, because it's a chiddush to say that the Torah is saying a sheni. You have to know that. So in other words, if you could find a case where it's not a sheni,
yeah,
then you could say maybe the Torah only takes it to a rishon level.
I'm not following you. So it's just, yeah, I'm going to look at this again. Okay, so we just established
the inside. We're making a chiddush that the Torah recognizes a sheni l'toma.
Correct.
But in other words, from that pasuk, how do you know? In other words, you could have. In other words, you're saying you're not trying to limit it. In other words, whatever the pasuk could be contemplating.
Yeah, I think what Adi said Rashi is what the Gemara is looking at is. What is the lowest possible form of tumah you could create? And I think the lowest possible form of tumah that you could create, based on what we know, is the case of, let's say, where the tumah is nogia on the outside, and then it's going
to
tumah on the inside.
We're not trying to limit it. It's trying to be expansive, actually.
That is correct. I think.
But I guess, we're saying the Torah by definition does have a sheni, and I guess I don't know how you know it's from that puzzle. Because maybe the Torah was only talking about it.
The truth is, yeah. I have to look at that also. That's the truth. I understand what you're saying.
Another 2 second question.
But it affirms that we do.
In other words, but proving that we don't care about an Arab Shemesh, so you would want to take a tumah that they recognize, and despite that, you do it, right? Because in other words, that's saying we don't care about an Arab Shemesh. But if they say we don't believe in the Drabanan, so to prove that you created a Drabanan dika Arab Shemesh, and then you did it anyway, so the whole thing's a Drabanan.
Well, they hold that Tavul Yom can't do Paradua.
So would you want to create a case that their maskim is tummy, and then do it anyway? But in order to say
why you want to dispute the right point that they're fixating, I don't know why.
They're saying that
Bouillon can't do it.
Can't do it, right? So what you would want to do, if you want to take away from them, is to create a case where it is the Bouillon that they where it's a tummy that goes back in time, right? Meaning that would be more thorough.
Yeah.
And then do it anyway.
Yeah, but that's not the halacha.
What?
You mean make him a tvul yom and a tvul daraisa?
Yeah, and that's because then it's it proves something, because it still can say, see, even you're masking this is a tvul yom and daraisa.
What was the tumah of the?
Because it said they made it as if it's the second, after the second hazaya
on the seventh day.
So they're creating a drabanan tika zero of tumah. So what does that prove about the? And it's still can say, fine, you created a tumah and then you did it anyway. So what do I care? That's not a tumah daraisa. You didn't. So in the case where you say you touch him with a sheret,
I think the Gemara and Yuma discussed that. I think that we had that discussion already. Yeah, I think we discussed that. I think Yuma spoke about that idea, and I think what the Gemara did discuss was this idea so as not to totally disparage paraguma. That to purposely go ahead, I have to look that up.
Because they made a thing, therefore that's why they said that they want Makadosh Tumah by Gemara.
So I think the Gemara, I'm going to look up the Gemara. I believe that the Gemara has that discussion. It's hard to catch up once you start with them. So.
I'm going to go to the house.
Vayavar Adonai Apanoho Vayikra Adonai Adonai Eyarachum Vechanun Erech Abayim Berav Chesed Yemes Nosei Chesed Nosei Nosei Avon Vapasha Chatoi Rabbi
Adonai, Orachom Vechanun, Erechabai, Berav Chesed Yemes, Nosei Chesed Yolef, Nosei Emun Vafesha, Vechata Vinokai, Sorak Olam Aleinu, Echad Asinu, Echad Arasach, Maravino Ki Chatanu, Chavagino Ki Pashanu, Ki Atoha Adonai, Tov Vesalach, Berav Chesed, Lechol Korecho.
Grazie a tutti.